when we talk about we want to help our people, give of yourself. Do you know the rewards that I've gotten from that is fantastic. I know people all over the state. I receive a lot from them. Because I've not forgotten what my grandfathers have told me. Give out of love, and you shall receive. I think that with the Alaska Native Lands Claims, the settlement coming in 1991, the element that will keep us together we have forgotten. We have to plant a seed of understanding so that that will keep us together, whether we lose the land's claims or not, but the people can stay together. The gift is in the sharing. You have the wisdom. Use it. You have the power. Employ it. You have the love. Give it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Bird, I'm Mark Nielsen, Sitka, Alaska, with a speaking piece, okay?
Right.
I'm Mark Nielsen. With me comes my knowledge of my people that's getting hurt. And I'm Tlingit Heritage. Belong to Cook Inlet Regional Corporation, Cook Inlet Native Association, Cook Inlet Housing Association, and will be Nielsen Construction Corporation, and think I'm corporation material. But the thing I want to say is my dad, my uncle, has all started this Tlingit Native Act. For 12 years, they fought, went to Washington, D.C. They had lawyers, they had everything. The reality almost came to real. If they promises the things I want to see, I want to know if I can benefit by it with my people, and I'm also a lobbyist with 3 terms, and I'm not afraid of them. Never was. They're afraid of me because I speak the truth. They get security guard turned me away from going to their meetings, but my constitutional right says I can belong. And if the 1991 comes about, I want my native people to get what they got coming. If not, I'll have to go to Washington, D.C. and fight for that, whatever that bill means. If the language isn't written the way I want it, we'll get a new constitution, say that it will be done. We as the government, we as we're sitting here, we can make that act. And the only thing that can change that act is federal act, and we can always abolish that act. Okay? And I know you're limited, so am I. And thanks for my speech.
Thank you, Mr. Nielsen. Okay.
My name is George Ondola. I'm elected tribal leader of the Native Village of Eklutna. I say tribal because we have a nonprofit running the tribal affairs of the village. And a lot of people have mistaken notions about our land and our wealth. I grew up in the Birchwood area, and every once in a while, I meet a person, a friend, that would say, there's one of those rich Hikutna Indians. Well, I look to say for the record that there are no rich Hikutna Indians. As I say, I represent the tribal government. I have shareholders coming to me every week wanting help in payment for rent, electricity, groceries. Now, if they had the money, you would think that they'd be able to afford it. But since I'm a tribal member, I am willing to show my bank account, my assets to anybody, and see where in my assets or in my bank account, where will show that I benefited from the land claims. There is nowhere. I know that the Clinton Corporation has paid out dividends 2 or 3 years, but because of the high cost of living in this area, $3,000 or $4,000 a year dividends is not enough for a household to live on. So therefore, we run a program through the nonprofit. We have a bingo games twice a week, generates $1 million a year. But because we have to pay out a lot of money, over $950,000, to run those bingo games, the nonprofit has only so much they could do to help in the social and educational and medical programs of the Clinton Village. Now, the land claim bill created this corporation, which has confused all of the village people. They thought that when the land claim bill was passed, that it did away with the tribal government. So right today, we have no traditional tribal council in existence. Only entity we have now is the nonprofit because of this confusion. I've been trying last 2 months, along with other village residents, to reactivate the tribal council. But because of the confusion of the shareholders, they're saying, why create another organization when we belong to one or two already, the profit and the non-profit corporation? Well, I feel that the profit corporation was set up to manage village lands and invest the proceeds of the land claim settlement, and not to be involved in the tribal affairs of the village, which we should be involved in, but we are not because we don't have a village council. Hopefully, in the next 5 or 6 weeks, I will call a village meeting and have election of officers to the village council, because the federal government recognizes the native village of Iklutna as a government. And because of the confusion, the people up there feel they shouldn't have to have a tribal council because their affairs are managed by the Profit Corporation. And also, the Profit Corporation, I don't see no representatives here. They are, I heard a statement made that there's native against native conflict going on, and that is what's happening today and yesterday. They're in litigation. The Profit Corporation is in litigation with certain members and trying to hold another election of officers. So I imagine that's why they're not here. And their land claim bill is not working for the village. Sure, we are the richest, probably the richest village in Alaska because we are within the Anchorage, municipality of Anchorage. And land values are high. And so will be the tax bill when it becomes due sometime after 91. And I doubt that the village corporation would be able to afford to pay the tax bill that will become due. The corporation has not, to my knowledge, invested so that it could generate enough income whereby the native village, the people in the village, could live off the proceeds comfortably year-round, like the whites in the Anchorage assume. I'm not enrolled in the corporation. I'm at large. Because of the confusion, I chose to go at large because I thought I didn't know what the corporation was supposed to be in the beginning. I thought that they would take over business and the government of the village. But in fact, they didn't. That was a far mistaken assumption at the time. So here it is, 12, 13 years later. People are now talking about reestablishing the tribal council, and I'll do my best to see that coming about because I was the last elected tribal chairman of the traditional council of the native village of Iklutna. And we will work hard to reestablish that council. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Your Honor, my name is Lillian Lapp. I'm a shareholder in Cook Inlet Region Incorporated, and I live in the city of Anchorage. And my biggest concern is the changes that Alaska Federation of Natives wants to make before 1991. They want to be able to change it so that my native people can sell their stock back to the corporation in 1986. And there's a lot of us that are very poor. We have had a little bit of money from the corporation. My corporation is one of the biggest and the richest in the city, in the state. But as you've heard the others say, it's limited what they give us. And according to the Settlement Act, we are supposed to get 50% of all, what do you call it, all the monies they collect. And we haven't gotten that. But I don't think that we should, as shareholders, go along with AF Van. They're going to have a meeting in March to go along with them and say, have their say. I think we should all get up together instead of being argumentative and fighting and name calling. Let's stand up there and be proud like the people we are. I don't have any property. I haven't had but very little dividends from Settlement Act. But I am not alone, so I don't think bad things about them for the simple reason that we elected those people. We knew what we were doing. And now it's turned around and it doesn't work out to the way people want it and they start name calling. I think we should get together as shareholders of all corporations, get together and really go all as a group to elect new corporation people. And I think that is up to us to do, not to sit here and call names and say this and that, because I myself know and I made my business to attend all corporation meetings. And Jerry Ward knows that because I've known him for a long time. So I just think that a lot of it is our fault because we didn't know. And when you don't know and things don't go right and you go around name calling and say, well, I didn't know. I make it my business to know. I don't have an education. I made it my business to go and listen to the people. And after this year, we have problems with our own corporation. And I've seen a report on ANSCA where the corporation said how good they did for the people of Alaska. They didn't come and ask us little people whether it was good for us. Sure, it's good for a corporation heads because they're educated. They got the money to spend. They can do anything they want. They don't ask us. They tell us. And I feel bad about that, but I think this year that we're going to go the right way. We're grouping together anyway, and that's what it takes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Commissioner Berger, I'm Tom Whitewolf Facet. I'm an ordained minister, and I am of the Haudenosaunee. The English call us the Six Nations. The French call us the Iroquois. I'm Seneca. I am the superintendent of the United Methodist Church in Alaska, and nationally we number 10 million of people. I think that it should simply be a matter of record that although we have supported the Commission's work and the Inuit Circumpolar Conference by resolution and by substantial support and of other nature, that it is important to say in a public hearing for the record that the United Methodist Church is, though not interested in entering into the political realm of Native governments and corporations, feel compelled to make moral ethical observations about the nature of Indian law and federal Indian relationships. And the question of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act is certainly epitomizes the questions that are raised historically about federal Indian relationships, so that the questions of sovereignty and criminal and civil jurisdiction, while perhaps beginning to gain prominence here in Alaska, are clearly in the policy of the United Methodist Church, ones that fall on the side of Native peoples. The issues of self-determination in the policies that have been written by the United Methodist Church are clear, so that we would be supportive, though we don't know where the Berger Commission's report is going to come out, what the findings will produce as recommendations. We are very clear that in the process of holding hearings and in the process of collecting information and hearing the people, the Ongwahoe, that we are supportive of a result which is going to produce a just result for Native peoples that will support the issues of self-determination and that will enable the people to be the people, essentially. We are aware that the closest historical parallel is the General Allotment Act of 1887, which substantially affected the Lower 48 and went quite a bit further to deny Article 3 of the Constitution of the United States of America, Article 5, rather, of the Constitution of the United States of America. And that between 1887 and approximately 1924, Native peoples lost perhaps 100 millions of acres of land due to the General Allotment Act of 1887. And although an imprecise parallel, it certainly suggests some of the concerns that we have about the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, inasmuch as we are concerned about a Native people continuing as a Native people. While in the past, perhaps churches have been largely responsible for some of the support that the federal government, some of the support the federal government has received for treatment of Native peoples, I think that it should be clear today that there are certain judicatories in the Christian church, certain denominations, who have now been enlightened and are attempting to speak out on the issues of Native rights, the issues of sovereignty and jurisdiction. And in fact, we are not opposed to lobbying the legislatures of states and the federal government to seek justice with Native peoples. So I appreciate this opportunity of simply expressing on behalf of the United Methodist Church the need for the Berger Commission, and at the same time to articulate the policy of the United Methodist Church, which is to side with Native peoples in allowing them to remain Native peoples, which is to suggest that it would oppose policies or processes of absorption into mainline society if such peoples were opposed to it. And we are going to continue to be supportive of the Berger Commission and to look anxiously, perhaps, on the report, its findings, and its recommendations.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Fassett. I think we have time for one more submission before lunch. Just while you're coming up, sir, maybe I could say that the Commission is grateful to the United Methodist Church for the support it has given us to enable us to travel around the state, and the support is financial, if I may let that guilty secret out into the open. And might I also take this opportunity to thank a local committee that organized these meetings for the Commission, Sabra McCracken, Darlene Romer, Evelyn Peters, arranged for the ads in the paper and organized the meetings yesterday and today, and I want to thank them on behalf of the Commission, and Kathleen Graves as well, who volunteered to pick up the names of all the folks who testified. Yes, well, sir.
Good morning. My name is Paul Blank. I'm Aleut heritage. I've lived in Unalaska, Seward, through bad taste, spent 12 years living outside on the East Coast, and now live in Sutton. And I spoke here once before in Fairbanks, so I'll make this, I'm gonna make this very quick. I have some anger and some hope to express both. And I wanted to, first of all, say that I believe that this commission is probably one of the most important things in my memory as regards land claims and ANCSA. This is because the ordinary village person and the ordinary urban person has had a chance for the first time to speak out and make their views known. It's never been done before. In the past, obviously, a few so-called leaders came forward and through good intentions, I believe, screwed things up under pressure. But now what's happening is the Aleut and Nikolsky and Atka, because of this commission, can look over and say and see their Athabaskan brothers and sisters in North Pole, and they can say, hey, we're speaking the same language. And for diverse cultures and the history and through the history of Alaska, it's a pretty rare feature. And they in turn can look over and see the Tlingit, Haida, Shimshan, peoples in Yupik and Yupik peoples and say, hey, we're not isolated, we're not alone. People all over the state are saying the same things. We don't like what's being done and we're going to do something about it. And for that, Justice Berger, I think this commission will go down as a legend in the future. And I sure know that you've earned the gratitude of everyone in this state who's concerned about the loss of their heritage and who they are. I also wanted to mention to this woman right here, as I told her outside, I hope you continue to speak out. Don't stop. You're welcome. To my anger, I have a, and I'll keep this brief, I think that the we've had corporations fostered on us by people with good intentions who in turn have sold us out. And I'm not going to be individualistic about it because I want all my remarks to stay on the record. We've got corporations teaming up with oil companies to put on TV commercials about the Goose Boy and all kinds of other strange things. And then they come up and they spend, after spending tens of millions of dollars for public relations, the corporations and the oil companies will get up and they'll put together the Endicott Field up north. And they'll say, we don't really need breaches because what do we care if 50% of the fish die? Well, they could have spent the $20 million and put breaches in instead of public relations telling us how wonderful they all were. I think that what I want to say mostly, and I'm going to keep this very brief, what I mostly want to get across is I think that we have to do, a few villages in the state have already done, we have to assert ourselves. We can't wait for someone to say, hey, you've got a right somewhere. You have 10 rights, we'll give you one and take 9. We have to assert our rights. We have to say who we are. We have to take what belongs to us. And if they want to say something about it, let them come after us. Let's put them on the defensive. Let's put the government on the defensive, the corporations on the defensive. Let's not put ourselves in a position of being on the defensive. We should be on the offensive. We should be the ones who are asserting ourselves, going out. And it's hard because as a people, one thing we all hold in common is as 6 or 7 separate cultures is we've never been, you know, overly assertive individually. We've been a commune, we've been communal. And we need to go out and we need to say, this land is ours and we're taking control of fish and game on this land. We're going to take control of our own people. We're not going to we're not going to look at your jails and see 70% or 50% of the inmates in those jails, Alaska Native peoples. And we're not going to sit idly by and watch you do this to the people who are our future and our hope. What we're going to do is we're going to take these people into our villages and we'll administer our own justice as it's been done over the years. We're good at it. We know what we're doing. We don't need to be patronized by so-called corporate leaders and a state and federal government that doesn't really care. And we need to also remember to work with the people whose intentions are good, because there are plenty of people out there, you know, white and black and oriental. The people, they have good intentions and they want to work with us. They're not guilty of perpetrating the original crimes and don't want to be held responsible for what their people did either. We have to work with those peoples, and we have to remember that there are many others out there who are ruthless, and their only motivation is greed, and they'll sell out their own values, their very own values, the ones that they pass on to their children in the name of that greed. And so that's all I really wanted to say. I wanted to just have somebody here that we should just know that we should assert ourselves. We've got to take control of ourselves because they'll never give it to us. That's it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Well, I think this is a good time to break for lunch, if that's okay, and we'll start again at 2 o'clock. I want to thank everybody who spoke today. It has been a very, very informative session, and I thank you all, and we'll resume at 2 for those who are coming then. Well, thank you.
Now I got to listen to Governor Bill.
Oh, well, that's, you better listen to him.
Yeah, no, I'll be back at 2. I want more discussion on this. So be more or less, I'll be hitting the oil companies, and I want to hit them hard. Because mm-hmm. they tend to take my fishing away from me.
Should we start? Yeah. Well, I want to welcome you folks here this afternoon. I think you all know that my name is Tom Berger, and this is the Alaska Native Review Commission, and we've been hearing testimony here at the Egan Center in Anchorage now. This is the second day, and so far... we've had 36 people testify, and it's been very helpful, very worthwhile, and so I'm glad you're here today. We've had, an encouraging turnout. So I think you all know that I was... that I'm not here representing the federal government or the state government. I've been asked to conduct this commission by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous Peoples. And I've been traveling around the state. I've been to 55 villages and towns and more than 1,250 Alaskan Natives and other Alaskans, non-Native Alaskans, have testified about ANCSA, about subsistence, the corporations, shares, 1991, sovereignty, all of the things that Alaska Natives are concerned about right now, and I've learned a lot, and we're just about in the final stages of our work, and so I'm glad we were able to arrange for these 2 days of hearings at Anchorage, and so I think that there's no reason for me to say any more at this stage. If you would like to say something, perhaps you wouldn't mind coming up and taking this chair. I'll just move it up here so people will know what I'm talking about. And that way we can all hear you, and Jim Sykes will get your testimony down on tape, and it'll be transcribed, and it will be part of the permanent record of the evidence at the commission, and it is on the basis of the evidence that you and hundreds of people like you have given all over the state that... I'll be writing my report. So that's why we have the permanent record of all that is said.
This gentleman has been here. He'd like to speak. He was here yesterday.
All right. Certainly, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Judge Berger. My name is Thor Skolstad. I was born in the Aleutian Islands, and I'm a stockholder in the Aleut Corporation, two village corporations, and another regional corporation by inheritance. The problems confronting the village shareholders are the problems being created by the regional corporations and in some cases by the state of Alaska and other native agencies such as the AFN-ANF. The regions do not want to see the village shareholders own any land, and they use all means at their disposal to keep these shareholders from deeding to themselves 80 to 160 acres, or for that matter, dividing up all the land and dissolve the village corporations, as they can lawfully do if they so decide. The United States of America is a republic, not social states nor communist, and I believe the U.S. Constitution would protect the village shareholders from the forces acting against them if we would take it to a U.S. court. Any village shareholder who would want to sell his land must be able to do so. It's the law of our land, and I don't think the regional native corporations can change that. I wonder what Mr. Regan would say if he were told he didn't have control nor the right to sell his ranch in California, or Mr. Hickel or Mr. Rasmussen were told they didn't have control of their assets in Alaska. I believe every village shareholder has just as much right as the above-mentioned people. This is a letter sent in October 21, 1980. I'm not going to use the name of the corporations. It starts out, Chairman of the Board, ex-Native Corporation, Dear Sir, I don't know if the management of the X Corporation knows that our land and timber assets are worth hundreds of millions to merge with X Corporation Incorporated would be our demise. I, for one of many, do not want to merge and would use court action to stop such a move. You must remember, it is up to the shareholders to make such decisions, and the board should not paint any false pictures to throw them off. In my judgment, the 10 acres we are to pick is not enough and should be open on all our land. Again, the shareholders will make that decision, and it may be 80 acres or more. You know as well as I that the board is overstepping their authority on these matters without the consent of the shareholders. We will make the decisions concerning our assets. Please be informed. We will take action to protect ourselves. Money is in deep trouble. That suggests our shareholders take land. A fair share would be 80 acres each. Given all the true facts, our people may vote to take this amount. We may be forced to live on this land in the very near future if the U.S. government doesn't stop the dollar from becoming worthless. Our corporation could fold very easily. The only intelligent choice one could make is to take land. We are very fortunate Americans to have that choice. It is then in the hands of the individual shareholder how he manages this land. I don't think it is up to anyone to decide whether they can or cannot do the job. After all, the law of the land is on our side. So be it. The hiring of consultants and lawyers will in the end be our downfall. I'm sure our people, when informed to the fullest, would hold on to their land and pass it on to their children. There is only so much land. It is a very valuable asset. How do you divide 10 acres between six children? What have you really left them? When in all fairness, you should have left them 80 acres to be divided among them. Please come up with the true picture and help them obtain the land they so rightfully deserve. The X Corporation has the wherewithal to teach those that don't really know the value of their land. That should be done now so that it may be kept in the shareholders' families forever. Isn't that the real purpose of the Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act of December 18, 1971? It is now October 1980, and we are no better off than we were in 1900. Again, I will stress, it is up to us, not the board. Any false or clouded information going to shareholders, I will use in a court of law. We have been furnished very little information on what the board has been doing with our corporation. The board has made decisions it should by law leave to its shareholders. I'm sure you know that now the time has come for we, the owners of the ex-Native corporation, to be heard. I have always had the feeling things weren't quite right. This land deal proves to me management thinks it can run over us shareholders roughshod. There is no way we shareholders should be asked to pick land from a map. We need time to look over the land very carefully before making a choice. All of our land should be included. I also believe the corporation is not giving all the information it should. In fact, it is unlawful what the board is doing. There should be hearings and a time frame set to make a land choice, say 1 year. Many shareholders would have agents make that choice for them. These agents must have true information. We should be furnished maps of all our land showing the status, etc. As far as the shareholders making the survey on their land, I am not too sure he or she will go for that. They, the shareholders, might have the corporation contract these surveys and come up with a reasonable price. The board should be aware that it is our money and we intend to spend it as we see fit. In short, the board nor anyone else is going to steal our land. You are now going to listen to us, not to the hired consultants or anyone else for that matter. The Native corporations is not going to be a haven for the selected few to sit and draw a salary while doing its shareholders an injustice. Let's get on with giving us a true and honest valuation of the amount of land we should own individually, and that's 80 acres, as any university or honest consulting firm would recommend. It still leaves enough land in the hands of the corporation to carry on its business. Taking 80 acres would be one-third of our land, which leaves the corporation two-thirds, or twice as much as each shareholder would own. It has been 9 years now, and the corporation has done nothing for its shareholders. It's my belief it never will. There is a great possibility it will lose all its land in some stupid move, such as using it as collateral for a loan that could never be repaid. Be assured, the banks and insurance companies and all other leeches are watching X Corporation with an eagle eye, waiting to get the land and timber for 10 cents on the dollar. X Corporation, X Regional Corporation, would like very much to have our land. No merger. It would be absolutely stupid. In my judgment, ex-shareholders should take 80 acres of their land each, plus one-third of any funds lying dormant, only drawing 5 to 7%. After all, the Claims Act was written for all of us, not the self-appointed few. Please think and answer this letter. I am sure all shareholders will be waiting for answers. In closing, I would like to advise the board that if the shareholders are not given true and correct information before a vote on any of these matters, I have no choice but to file suit, and thus might file suit, and that just might help other village shareholders also. Land is our greatest asset, our only asset. Sincerely yours, T.F. Skolstad. Copy sent to Department of Interior, shareholders of X Native Corporation. I don't see any problem with the Native land claims as far as the village is concerned, as long as the Bureau of Land Management keeps issuing deeds to that land. Any village can do as it pleases with its land. It could give it to a church, it could give it back to the United States, it could do anything it wanted. So I really don't see a problem with land. A village that didn't want it to be the land to be owned by individuals could do as they like. The law is already there. And so I see no big fuss. The only thing I can see is the regional corporations would like to use that land. In other words, to be real truthful about it, to own it. I thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, sir.